Let us turn again to the part of God's word that we read together in the first chapter of John's Gospel, and let us consider verse 29, as the Lord may be pleased to help us. John chapter 1 at verse 29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. John saw Jesus coming in his direction. And the description he uses of him is the Lamb of God. The Lamb that God had provided. But why call him a Lamb? And it's very likely that those who heard that, the two disciples of John in particular, for whose benefit this was said, though in the providence of God, it was said for the benefit of people in all generations to whom the word of God would come. But the idea of a lamb in the religion of Israel was very prominent. So many of the sacrifices were lambs. And what John is saying is, there is the lamb. He identifies this person who is beginning his public ministry. He's a lamb. And what did he mean? Well, here is the sacrifice. The people of Israel had offered many, many sacrifices over the generations. But in a sense, in a very real sense, none of these sacrifices had taken away sin. We might come back to that. But what John is saying is, here is the sacrifice, and you're to look to him. It's not an outward look that matters, but you're to receive him by faith. You're to look to him by faith. That's what's been said. Here is the one who really can take away your sin. And that's what we're to say when we refer to a text like this. We're to say it to everybody within hearing. Here is one who can take away your sin. You're a sinner. You should feel that. You should feel your need. And you should be asking. Even if you know the answer, in a sense you're to be asking, how can my sin be taken away? Even just asking yourself, or even better, you're to come before God and you're to say, show me how my sin can be taken away. Show me how the guilt of my sin can be taken away. Show me how the punishment of my sin be taken away. And what might the answer be? Well, in these words, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away or beareth away the sin of the world. Sin of people everywhere. The true religion is to go out, stage by stage, throughout the whole world. Yes. The knowledge of salvation has gone out to a great proportion of the world. Yes. And the call comes with it. The call comes to us today. May it come with power. That's what we should be asking for ourselves and others. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away, which really takes away the sin of the world in a way that no mere animal lamb, no matter how many of them were offered, as there were huge numbers of animals offered when the temple was being dedicated to the worship of God, a place where, with the authority of God, sacrifices were to be offered. But you see, they were to look beyond these sacrifices. They were to hear echoes, as it were, from the future, saying, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And whenever we gather to hear the gospel of the grace of God proclaimed, we should hear echoes coming to us from the time that Christ was in the world and from this incident that is before us here. We should hear a particular echo of these words, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. That's where we're to look. I have 4 points just now. First, something about sin and its punishment. Second, the Lamb. Not so much the person as how the idea of the Lamb points forward from the Old Testament to Christ. And then in the third place, the fact that he took away the sin of the world. He was taking away the sin of the world. And finally, the call, behold. Our attention is drawn to him fully as much as the attention of these 2 disciples of John was drawn to him. Yes, we're being told, behold, the Lamb of God. Look to him in a spiritual way. Look to him by faith. 4 points then. First, sin and its punishment. Second, the Lamb. Third, he took away the sin. He was taking away the sin of the world. And in the 4th place, the call to behold. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. First then, sin. Sin and its punishment. Well, if we glance at that verse in Romans 3, a verse that is so significant. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned in Adam. That's where we're to begin. We mightn't begin every sermon by going back to Adam. We don't do it. But we're to have this in mind. We're at times to go back to Adam. And Adam's fall. And we fell in Adam. We're fallen creatures. Sin is ingrained in our hearts. The root of sin is there. Yes. The root of sin is there. Have we had it dealt with? Have we been to the doctor? Now you might think of that in relation to something I was saying on Sabbath evening. I think it was last Sabbath evening. And quoting Jesus' own words, they that are whole, they that are well, do not need a physician, but those who are sick. And those who are unwell, seriously unwell, you might ask them, if they're speaking about their illness, have you been to the doctor? Well, we've got an illness of soul. And our question might well be to everyone. Have you been to the doctor? Have you been to Christ? Have you gone to him saying, I have a disease that loathsome is, and I need help. I need thee to work in my heart to take that disease away, to deliver me from the punishment of sin. You see, there's the good physician, the kind physician. Oh, how kind he was, and still is. How kind he was that he came down into the world to save sinners. He took human nature. But it's sin we're speaking about just now. Or trying to. And you see, Adam had been warned that he wasn't to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And in the day he would eat of it, he would surely die. And he was there in that position as the representative of all mankind. It wasn't just that he was tempted in relation to himself and his own spiritual standing. He was standing there in the, as the head, the covenant head, the covenant being the covenant of works. Yes. Would Adam stand? If he did, all his descendants would stand in him. They would also, in God's kindness, be preserved from falling. But seeing Adam didn't stand, all mankind fell in him. All mankind came into the world in a fallen condition. That's how we are born. David recognized that. You have it in Psalm 51. I was born in sin and shapen in iniquity. Poor David. I know. It's each of us. Or not just David. It's each of us. Born in sin. We have a sinful nature. It only needs a little time to show itself. Yes. And the punishment of it. Well, that was spelt out further when Adam had sinned and he was told, out of it, that's the ground, that was taken. The Lord took some of the earth and changed it. And there was the first human being. You see, dust thou art, Adam was told, and we are told, dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. We go back to the dust. Why? Because our souls have been separated from our bodies. And that separation is the result of sin. We're sinners. And sin has a penalty. And death is that penalty. And that return to the dust speaks of natural death. But there's more serious aspects to our sinful condition. And there's spiritual death. Paul uses the expression in Ephesians 2, we were dead in sins. We were in a state of spiritual death. How serious. Fallen creature, spiritually dead. Not spiritually alive. the spiritual life that Adam and Eve had originally. They lost it. They were spiritually dead then. And so it is with everyone. Unless they get new life, unless they are born again, then they are not able to believe, they are not able to repent, they are not able to engage in any spiritual activity. That's the situation. And further, there's eternal death. The wages of sin is death. The wages of a life lived in sin without repentance, that's eternal death, eternal separation from God. Now that briefly is sin and its punishment. But you see, the Lamb came to take away the sin of the world. Now, there's instructions about sacrifices, particularly in Leviticus, and there's instruction in chapter 1, if his offering, whoever it might be, if his offering be of the flocks, that's as distinct from the herds, the sheep, or the goats, the sheep rather than the cows. If he brings a sheep or a lamb for a burnt sacrifice, he shall bring it a male without blemish. And that's pointing forward to the lamb that John the Baptist was pointing to, the Lamb of God who was to come. But you see, it was to be a male. It was without blemish, without any fault. And that the Lamb, when it would come, there would be no blemish in him. No blemish in his body, no doubt. But more particularly, no blemish in a spiritual sense. No blemish, nothing wrong. Oh, whoever found fault with Christ. Well, people did. But there's this. There are no grounds for finding fault with Christ. No grounds for finding fault with Christ. That's a great matter. And that's the only lamb that could be of use in taking away the sin of the world. Each of us is a sinner, and we need a sacrifice. And you might find a conscientious Israelite going out to his fields, and he's saying, I need a lamb, I need a sacrifice. And that one here, I thought was a very suitable lamb, but it had a blemish. And then I looked at another one, and that had some other kind of blemish. But I found one, and there was no blemish in it. And he could say, it's suitable to use as a sacrifice. And that's what we have for ourselves. Lamb that is suited to us in our need as sinners. The Lamb must be perfect to be accepted. And that was the mind of God in choosing a Lamb. It must be perfect to be accepted. You see? That's how it was. It must be perfect to be accepted. And if you are here and you're going looking for a Lamb, and that would be a good activity, especially on a Sabbath day. Can you find a lamb? Is there someone that can take away the sin of the lamb? Well, go looking in the Bible. You could almost say that this book is a manual for finding a lamb.
that can take away your sin. Go looking in that book. Go looking with prayer. Prayer in your heart. Lord, show me the Lamb. And you know the answer. I know that. I realize that. And still, there's such a thing as looking with a sense of need. Can I find that Lamb? Can I find that Lamb for myself? Can I get a conviction in my soul that this is a suitable Lamb, that this is a Lamb without blemish, a Lamb that had his divine nature from eternity, and that divine nature was without blemish, and he took a human nature brought into existence by the Holy Spirit, and that human nature was without blemish. No sin there, no defect. Yes. But keep looking in the Bible. Keep coming to the preaching of the Word to see if the Lord will open your eyes to get a sight of the Lamb that is suited to you and your need. That's the thing, you see. That we would by faith get a sight of the Lamb and a sight of his perfection, a sight of his lack of blemish, a sight of his suitability for us as poor, needy sinners. Yes, and keep coming prayerfully to the means of grace. Keep coming prayerfully to the Bible. As you open your Bible, say a few words. In the spirit of prayer, if you can get that, if the Lord will be pleased to give you that, a few thoughts, few prayerful thoughts going up to the God of heaven, so that he would open your eyes to see the Lamb and to see that he is suited to you and your need. That's the thing, you see. What have the people of God here found? Well, whether they could identify the first time that their eyes were opened to see Jesus, still there was a first time. And their eyes were open. And they were open to this, to see that this Lamb was suited to them in their need, and that he was an effective Savior. The Lamb of God, as we will notice further, I trust. The Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Oh, come, sin. Ask that your eyes would be opened so that you might see Jesus as a Lamb, as the Lamb that has been appointed. And that's a great matter in this train of thought. That he would be such a Lamb as God will accept. Such a Lamb as God will accept. Such a sacrifice as God will accept. And I mean to come back to that thought under the next head. But you see, if we continuance in Leviticus 1. You see, the instruction was about the man who has brought the lamb. He shall kill it on the side of the altar. It was to be done before the Lord, in the presence of the Lord. And that was the place where the presence of the Lord was, and the that's represented by the cloud in the most holy place, the cloud that had been with the children of Israel in their passage through the wilderness. But you see, the lamb must be killed and its blood must be sprinkled. The evidence of death, if you have a bucket of blood, then you would be saying, wherever that blood came from, the animal must be dead. That was the sign of the death. The death of the lamb, let us confine it to that just now. There's blood. And blood that can be sprinkled. And in connection with the great Lamb of God, the Lamb that God has provided, what you have to say is, there was blood. Blood was poured out. Blood and water. But blood, that was poured out. And you can be sure that the Lamb had died. And the wages of sin is death. And the wages of sin were to be paid to this Lamb. The wages of sin were to be paid to Christ. And so, in the providence of God, in the overruling providence of God, in connection with all that happened in Calvary, as the soldier takes a spear and thrusts it into the side of Christ, and out there came blood and water. And the conclusion to be drawn, perhaps there's many a conclusion that should be drawn. The conclusion is this. The Lamb has died. The wages of sin have been paid here. That's the thing. That's one of the great things. The wages of sin have been paid at Calvary. Take that with you. And may it help you if you are looking for Allah. And be careful where you look for Allah. A lamb that can be a substitute for you. It must be in the word of God, or in the preaching of the word, or in your own meditation in the word. That's where you find a lamb. The lamb. The lamb that God has provided. Ah, what a great matter. When the Lord is saying, it must be perfect to be accepted. When the Lord is saying, it must be suitable to be accepted, that the Lord has made choice of that lamb. And the Lord from all eternity chose the lamb that was to come, the lamb that was to be provided. And you see, we might question, will my lamb be accepted? Will my sacrifice be accepted? But if we have this, then there'll be no problem about these things. If God has been saying, take this lamb, and that's what he is saying through the word of God, take this lamb. You see, a great part of coming to Christ is this, being made willing to take the lamb that God has provided. We must take the lamb that God has provided. And there's a great deal in the fallen human heart of willfulness to provide our own lamb. Ah, no. Leave all other lambs alone. They'll not take away sin. And I'm not speaking against the Old Testament provision. But, you see, what was true of the Old Testament provision was that there was an encouragement to look beyond it, to look to the coming Messiah, to look to the Lamb of God. That's what it is. And that's what we are to be doing. We are to go looking for the Lamb. And what the Lord is saying is, make sure you take the right lamb. You might imagine situations on a farm, and it's a particular lamb that has to be taken to market, or whatever it is. And you might find the farmer saying to the person who is is to take the lamb to market, make sure you take the right lamb. Well, there's that in it. As far as our salvation is concerned, make sure you take the right lamb. Make sure you take the Lamb of God. Make sure you don't try to substitute your own ideas. You see, the Lamb must die. It is a burnt sacrifice. That's the particular line of things we're following through in the types and trying to apply it to the Lamb of God, the Lamb that would actually take away sin. It's an offering made by fire, which is pointing us to the suffering, the extreme suffering that Christ was to endure. And it was the sufferings of his soul particularly. Oh, there was the suffering of his body. And that was painful. That was serious. But even more serious was this, that there were sufferings of soul which brought this forth. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? He had never felt like that in all his beginningless existence. No separation, not the least separation between the Father and the Son, going back through eternity. But what you have is that when it came to the cross, the fire, as it were, came down. And you see that in connection with particular sacrifices. And when God would show his acceptance of the sacrifice, as happened at the beginning of tabernacle worship and the beginning of temple worship, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the sacrifice. Ah, well, the fire came down from heaven on the Lamb, on the Lamb of God. The fire came down from heaven. Yes. And the response of the Lamb to the fire coming down was this: my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Yes. Why hast thou forsaken me? The fire. But you see, there's another side to that, and I think we can bring it in here. It's a token that the sacrifice was accepted. That would be a question for many a believing person in Israel. Was my sacrifice accepted? Did God accept my sacrifice? Or was there a blemish in it? Did God accept my sacrifice? But you see, here is the sign, one sign, that the sacrifice was accepted. There was the fire coming down from heaven into the soul of the Lamb, the human soul of the Lamb. Oh, how pained that soul was when he uttered these words, my God, my God. And you see, it was the provision of the Lamb was according to the first gospel message that was ever proclaimed in this world, even in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve heard the devil addressed, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head. That particular seed that was to provide salvation, it shall bruise thy head. Yes, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Yes, the devil pursuing Christ, the devil adding to his suffering in a sense. But you see, his head was bruised. That was more vital than his heel. Yes. How the devil suffered in the loss of so many of his children in the past. Much more to be done in that way yet. But it's all because of the sacrifice. The Lamb offering himself as a sacrifice. Though the Lamb points to the suffering, the suffering in his human nature, even unto death. But still there's this. There's the divine nature. And the divine nature in control of everything. Yes. And let me just mention Abraham and Isaac before we pass on. And when Abraham was to offer Isaac as a sacrifice, then he was told to stop. But will there not be a sacrifice? Will there not be a lamb or some other animal, some similar animal? Oh, there must be. There must be a substitute found. And when the Lord was directing Abram, he turned round and he saw a lamb. It was caught in a bush. And he took it and offered it up in the stead of his son as a substitute for his son. And that's a very important doctrine, that there was a substitute for all that the Father had given to Christ, all these sinners, and there was a substitute. And there was a substitute child of God for you. Yes. A substitute. The lamb that God provided was a substitute, a suitable substitute. Oh, see that you look to that substitute. But let us say a little more about Christ, the lamb, as the one who took away the sin of the world. Yes, and he was about that work when John spoke to his disciples. He was saying to them that they were to look to the one, to the Lamb, who was taking away. That's the work he was engaged in then. Taking away the sin of the world. And Paul says about all the other bulls and goats, etc., that it was not possible that their blood could take away his sins. It wasn't possible. All they were doing was pointing to the Lamb, the Messiah, the Christ, that was to come in the fullness of time. And yet, you see, the further comparison is made in Hebrews also. It comes before what I quoted already. But that doesn't matter. If the blood of bulls and of goats sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ? You see, these other lambs, the sacrifices offered from the beginning of the world, they didn't actually take away sin. They had a great function as In the way of teaching those who offered them. And those who saw the sacrifices offered, they could say, there is a picture of what the Messiah is to do. There's to be, oh, if they could see that by faith, under the teaching of God's Spirit, there's a lamb to be offered that will take away sin. But if the blood of the bulls and other animals did take away outward, the outward guilt of sin, what would keep them out of temple worship, for instance? If that outward defilement could be taken away, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, without spot, without blemish, how much more would that blood purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Dead works. Works with sin in them. But how the blood of Christ cleanses from these sins. Yes. Oh, that's what we're to go. To go looking for the Messiah. To go looking for the Lamb of God. To search the Scriptures. What have the Scriptures got to say about the Lamb? Well, that's what we've been trying to enlarge on. Yes, the testimony of the Scriptures. But you see, Mary was to bring forth a son. That's what she was told. And she shall, well, that was to Joseph, in fact. But the same thing basically was said to herself. And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He shall save. He shall save sinners. Oh, there's where there's hope. Go to him. Go to him and ask, open my eyes that I might see this wonderful thing out of the law, out of the testimony of Scripture. Let me see that glorious provision, the Lamb of God, who can, who does, who did, really take away sin. That's what you've been told. Really take away sin. He was taking away sin. And on the basis of what he did in this world, he is on the throne of glory. God so loved the world. Yes. Sinners everywhere. Sinners of all kinds. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. And that's said to you by way of encouragement. It's there in the word of God for your encouragement, that you would come, see if you can find the Lamb. See if you can find the Lamb of God. You'll not find the Lamb of God in the world. I mean the world of those who are away from God, who have never come to Christ. You'll not find the Lamb there. Keep away from their company as much as you reasonably can. Don't get involved in their entertainments and their distractions and all that will keep your mind away from the thought of the Lamb. But go seeking the Lamb. Try and take him with you. What do I mean? Take the thought of Christ with you when you go out. Remember the words, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Remember the words, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's me, you can say, if I will believe in Christ. If I will find the Lamb by faith, that's me. That's it. You see? All there is for you to lay hold. Oh, if we would see Christ by faith as we think in these words from John 3:16 or any other suitable, relevant part of Scripture, relevant to this matter. Yes. Oh, I'll say it again. Let us go looking for the Lamb. As someone to offer a sacrifice. I've said that already. It doesn't matter. As somebody going to offer a sacrifice would go looking in the field for a suitable Lamb. Well, there is a suitable Lamb. You've been assured of that. The Bible assures you of it. The sacrifice was accepted. You go looking and see if you can find. See if you can find him by faith. See if you can get grace to apply him to your souls, to your soul. In other words, that you would have a believing response to the word of God. You see, I've been over the fact of sin and its punishment. Perhaps I don't need to repeat that. But in view of the seriousness and the solemnity of all that, I'm pointing you to Christ. I'm trying to. Yes. And there was that remarkable prophecy of Caiaphas, an ungodly man, an ungodly high priest, trespassing into the office. And you see, he was saying that to the people, you know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not. You see, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation, and not for that nation only, but also for the whole world. I don't suppose he had any conception of what he was saying, of the meaning of what he was saying. But it's there in Scripture. And perhaps, for all I know, many a soul found Christ in the words of Caiaphas. It was given to him from heaven. Well, there's so many places in the Word of God where we can go looking for Christ. Go looking for the Lamb of God. And as I've said already, what I mean by that is that we would find him by faith. Yes. That's the finding that we need. A finding, an exercise of faith that would unite us to Christ. Yes, and that God would consider us in union to Christ. That he would take Christ as a substitute for us and apply to us the benefits of salvation. Yes, and such an high priest, such a Lamb. Christ being the priest and the Lamb. But such an high priest became us, was suitable for us, is suitable for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate for sinners and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. It was a finished work. The work was finished. Let us lay hold in it, as suited for ourselves. Let us look. That's what we're coming on to. Briefly. That we are to behold Christ. Behold the Lamb. Look to the Lamb. The final point. Look to the Lamb. Yes. And I'm sure it was with eyes of faith that the two disciples looked in response to the call given by John the Baptist. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him. Looked. And you see, I think I've said that already just now too. We are to take these words as coming to ourselves. We are to hear John the Baptist. We are to hear God himself who sent John the Baptist. We are to hear it. Even almost 2,000 years ago. We are to hear it. We are to listen. And come back again and again to these words. Look to the Lamb of God. See him as the one that God provided. As a Savior suited for us. John the Baptist was a man sent by God. And, you see, he was sent by God so that his words would be preserved in Scripture and that they would be of use to poor sinners like ourselves. Yes. And you see, there was Abel. And he didn't have a great deal of the revelation, though perhaps we shouldn't say that too strong. But, you see, he had enough knowledge. And the Lord applied that knowledge. And he knew what sacrifice to offer. He offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. He did so by faith. He received the testimony of God. He received this testimony that it must be an animal and that its blood must be shed. And it pointed Abel forward. He offered it by faith, Hebrews 11 tells us. It was a more excellent sacrifice than Cain's. And you see, the Savior is coming to us. He came long, long ago through Isaiah in these words, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth." It's Christ as a sacrifice, not for the Jews only, but for people throughout the world. He's taken away the sin of the world, not for every individual in the world, of course, or there would be no one in hell. And manifestly there is, and manifestly there are those who go on to death without paying attention to this lamb, without feeling their need of this sacrifice. But you see, "Look unto me and be ye saved." That's the Savior speaking to us. "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else." Yes. And you see, as you have it in Romans 3, that sinners are freely justified by the grace of God through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Yes. The redemption, the sacrifice that was offered. The sacrifice was accepted. And so it is accepted in the place of all who believe in Christ, of all who behold, of all who look to him. The sacrifice is accepted. So the call of the gospel to us here is, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." May he bless his word to us. Let us pray. Have mercy, Lord. Take each of us under thine own loving care. Bless the truth to us. Pardon our sin. Keep us from evil. May we be looking for the Savior. May we be looking for the Lamb of God. May we look in the right place. Open our eyes, Lord, that we might see Jesus by faith, that we might see him as a lamb that was crucified, a lamb that was offered, a lamb that became a sacrifice that was accepted. Oh, may we believe, may we look. Pardon us and keep us and make us thankful. For Jesus' sake, amen.